And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had borne the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river which the dragon has poured from his mouth. Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea.
让我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
亲爱的父神,
Our Heavenly Father,
当我们翻开圣经阅读你话语的时候,
When we turn to the Bible and read the passage,
愿你的灵带领我们,
May the Spirit continue to guide us.
无论是讲的, 听的, 都得到你的指引和帮助。
And whether what we speak and what we hear, Lord, your Spirit will continue to guide us.
让我们能够在生活上, 懂得如何去活出基督徒的生活的生命见证。
And indeed, in our day-to-day life, Lord, we pray that you continue to guide us that we'll be able to live out as your witness.
祷告奉主耶稣基督的名, Amen.
And this prayer we commit in your name. Amen.
弟兄们, 这时候请大家来做一个选择。
So brothers and sisters, let's start with an exercise or just a picture, a pictorial this morning.
这里有三张的那个图画。
So this slide has three images of a dragon.
你觉得哪一条的龙是我们刚才启示录十二章所读到的那条大红龙？
So which one of those you think captures the essence of the dragon that was described in the pastures this morning?
有没有第一的举手？
Anyone thought number one fits that profile?
Okay, 有两位哈, okay. 有第二的举手?
Number two?
第三的举手?
How about those who think number three captures the essence?
大部分是第三条是吗? 没有举手的是, 可能是有第四条还是没有? 第一条比较算是什么龙啊?
So what does number one kind of appeal to you as?
第一条比较像是什么龙? 中国的对吗?
It's more of more in the image of a Chinese perception of a dragon.
第二条呢?
And about number two?
海怪.
It looks like more 海怪, of right? a sea yeah. monster, a sea beast.
Monster, yeah, right? Yeah. 第三条呢?
How about number three?
好像比较像是吗? 启示录的龙. 这样想问一下, 它所描述的龙是真实的, 活物呢? 还是一条, 一种象征的意义呢?
So the next question then is, what was described in the book of Revelation, was it an actual living being, or is more of a metaphor, more of a symbol?
哪一个? 是真的有这样一条龙, 还是说没有啊, 只是一种象征的意义而已? 哪一个?
So is it more symbolic, or is it actual, an actual living being at the time?
Yeah, okay. 比较多是象征的意义是吗? 好, 非常好, 我们再看一下啊。 在今天的经文里面,
so the passage we studied this morning, verses 1 to 4, it talked about a great portent or omen which appeared in the sky.
而这世界里面有讲到说有一个将要生产的妇人,还有大红龙想要吞吃的男孩,以及一条大红龙。
So the three portents that were described, a birthing woman, a great dragon which was looking to devour a boy child, as well as the great red dragon itself.
我刚才听到弟兄姐妹说, 这个所谓, 大红龙是象征的, 请问, 这一位将要生产的妇女, 又是象征什么呢？
So if the great dragon was more of a symbol, so what would this birthing woman be symbolic? I guess what does it mean to us?
还是真的是一个怀孕的妇女？
Or is it literally a expecting woman?
如果我们按照字面以这个妇女的形象去诠释呢，就我们就会倾向哦单一去探讨这个究竟这个妇女呢是哪一位？是不是可能是夏娃？可能是不是说玛利亚，或者是说希罗神话里面的女神
？So if we were to look at this birthing woman literally and interpret that way, we'll be looking at it more from a one-sided perspective, trying to figure out if she is Eve, Mary, or goddess according to the folklore of Herodotus.
其实经文是要借着这样一个怀孕生产的妇女呢，要表达出这是一个信仰群体开始的象征。
But instead, the scripture through the image of the birthing woman, it's to describe to us the inception or genesis of a faith of community.
你说什么？它是一个怀孕信仰群体开始的象征？
So you say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean it's an inception of a community of faith?
我们除了说在经文看到说它有外在的形象，有太阳，有月亮，有星星等等。
So if you look at the descriptions in the scriptures, talk about the sun, the moon, as well as the constellation and the stars.
其实我们也可以从一些的旧约经文，也尝试多了解这样一个妇女的形象要表达什么。
And I think if we go deeper back to the Old Testament, we'll be able to see exactly what this image of the expectant or birthing woman should be or looks like.
首先我就拿了两节的经文给大家看一下，第一就是以赛亚书第26章第17节。
So if we look at a few excerpts taken from, say, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 17.
还有就是耶利米书第四章第31节。
And as well as book of Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 31.
以赛亚书第26章实际也说到说，也是同样说有个妇女啊，妇人怀孕临产疼痛，在痛苦之中喊叫。
And it reads like a woman with child who lives and cries out in her pangs.
然后呢，在那个耶利米书第四章也是就说到说，我听见有仿佛妇人临产的声音，好像生产生头胎疼痛的声音。原来是西安的声音。
Again, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 4. For I heard a cry as of a woman in travel, anguish as of her bringing forth her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, gasping for breath.
对于这些旧约经文，它所带出来的意涵，相信大家都知道，它其实要用这个生产艰苦呢，来去表达一种弥赛亚和他国度的这个的前奏。
I think taken from the descriptions from the Old Testament, I think it's evident that the text is trying to describe to us the Messiah as well as a prelude to a kingdom through the birthing pain of a woman.
而其中也出现到耶利米书那边有提到有出现这个西安这一个字。
And the book of Jeremiah as well brings up the term Zion.
而西安呢，一般普遍上被用作当成是以色列的这个代名词。
And I think generally speaking, the word Zion is synonymous with Israel.
这样讲的话，就可能说这个妇人可能是指以色列。
From that perspective, perhaps then the birthing woman is Israel itself.
但是我们要继续看其他后面的经文有讲到什么。
And let's move on to look at what the other parts of the scriptures tells us.
我们如果继续看第十二章第十七节，他又有说他其余的儿女作战，就是以那些遵守神命令为耶稣做见证的。
And again, if you move on to chapter 12, verse 17, it speaks to her other offspring and those refer to those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus.
一般学者对这样一个解释呢，他认为说为耶稣做见证的呢，普遍是指向教会。
And I think the scholars typically interpret those who bear testimony to Jesus as the church.
另外我们继续看这个启示录第21章的那个第12跟14节的新耶路撒冷的意象中。
And if you move on and actually continue on book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 12 and 14, it gives us a new vision of New Jerusalem.
然后它里面讲到说门上有12位天使，门上又写着以色列人十二个支派的名字。
And in verse 12 it says, on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed.
然后第十四节，城墙有十二个根基，然后根基上有羔羊十二使徒的名字。
And in verse 14 it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
所以如果是综合这些经文的这个背景的理解呢，可以显示出说约翰的神学他要描述的这个妇女呢，象征一个信仰群体的开始。
So if you look at it holistically as to the background of this passage, I think the theology of John is trying to tell us that the birthing woman is the inception or genesis of a community of faith.
而这个信仰群体呢，它是涵盖了这个以色列以及由耶稣的这个执事所建立的信约教会。
And community of faith encompasses both the Old Testament Israel as well as the New Testament church that's established by the commission of Jesus Christ.
所以我们说这个妇女呢，她是一个象征什么呢？象征就是弥赛亚的信仰的群体，或者我们可以说是称她为新旧约属神子民的总和。
So we can say that this birthing woman is representative of a community of faith of the Messiah, or a summation, an aggregate of God's people of both the Old as well as the New Testament.
这是一种以拟人化的方式来去呈现这个妇女的形象。
And again, this is a mythological way of describing what the woman should be about.
然后接下来我们要问说，请问这个男孩是指向谁呢？
And then let's move on and let's talk about this boy child.
刘胜。那男孩是谁？大概是 Jesus， 非常好，掌声鼓励一下。真的 ，very good， yeah， 哎 ，translate，
oh， well done， well done
是。是为什么那么认为呢
？So why do you believe so？
你看，我们这第五节。
Let's look at verse five。
妇女就生了一个男孩子，就是将来要用铁杖管辖万国的。她的孩子被提到神和他宝座那里去。
It reads, she brought forth a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
这里呢，其实约翰有给我们一些线索，知道吗
？And actually here John did give us some hints.
线索是来自哪里呢
？And where does this hint originate from?
这节的经文哦，如果你参考旧约呢，它是来自诗篇第二篇。
So if you actually look at the background of this verse, it's taken from the book of Psalm, chapter 2.
诗篇第二篇的第九节。
Verse 9, Psalm chapter 2.
而我们知道诗篇第二篇呢，被看为是属于弥赛亚的诗歌。
And again, Psalm chapter 2 is taken as one of the messianic psalms.
也被看为说是弥赛亚的这个所谓的工作的一种的描述。
And again, it's also taken as a depiction of the work of the Messiah.
所以我们看说所谓的这个男孩呢，我们可以说他是指向这个弥赛亚。
Again, therefore, this boy child can be referred or taken as the Messiah himself.
或者更广义的层面来看，是说也是指向耶稣的执事开展了这个弥赛亚的这个国度。
And speaking, perhaps looking at it from more the broader context, we can look to the work of a commission of Jesus unfolding the kingdom of the Messiah.
因为这样的解释呢，就能够解释说为何那个大红龙。虎视眈眈的哦，要等到那个妇女生产之后呢，要吞噬她的孩子的这个原因。
So if you look at it from that perspective, you will understand, appreciate why the red dragon was eyeing the woman, with great hostility, looking to devour the child once he's born.
而经文继续告诉我们说，很奇妙的是，面对大红龙的这个威胁或是迫害呢，这个孩子却突然被提到了这个上帝的宝座那里去。
And if you read on the text, miraculously it does talk about, despite facing the persecution or threat from the red dragon, this child was snatched up to the heavens and to the throne of God.
而妇人呢，也很平安地逃到了旷野，然后使他在那里呢被供养了多久呢？1260天。
And the birthing woman as well was safely led into the wilderness where she was nourished for how long? 1260 days.
所以还记得上个礼拜小飞牧师讲的吗？等于多少年
？And you recall Reverend 小飞 had talked about last year？
多少年
？Last week？ How many years does this represent?
3.5年, 对。
3.5 years, that's correct.
从这两件事情上,
so if you look at these two events,
都清楚显出说上帝是一位眷顾和守护的神, 只要他愿意介入人, 就能够得到这个保守和眷顾。
So from these two events, I think it clearly demonstrates to us that God indeed is a God who defends, and if He is willing to intervene, men will be able to actually enjoy preservation and His care and attention.
接下来我要看了,这个大红龙又是象征什么呢?
So let's move on to the great red dragon. What does it symbolize?
有谁要试试看,大红龙又是象征什么?
Any takers?
啊? 撒旦,好,很好的一个解释哦,还除了撒旦还有别的意思吗?
Any other interpretations besides Satan?
还有没有? 来,我们看下去啊,他说哦,这个大红龙很特别。
This great dragon is indeed unique.
他说这个大红龙它有什么七个头十个脚。
It says he has 7 heads and 10 horns.
然后呢头这个头上戴着什么呢?
And what is on his head?
戴着七个冠冕。
And there are 7 diadems on his head.
来我们看一下首先龙有不同的这个词汇在七十四译本里面呢的希腊文的圣经里面它有不同这个翻译。
Again, if you look at the term dragon in the Greek translated Bible in the Septuagint, there are different interpretations of the word.
它里面呢,可以说被翻译成有海怪,海兽,大鱼,或是大蛇。
So it can be interpreted as sea creature, sea beast, a large fish, or a large serpent.
而在圣经里面,当他们向他描述这些的时候,是象征一种什么呢?是象征一种邪恶的势力。
Again, if when we see this in the Bible, it's often referred to as basically a depiction of evil forces.
而其实在古代的神话的传说里面呢,都有曾出现过有关这些龙的事情。
And this also has been captured in ancient Near East mythology about this dragon.
比如说在这个希腊的神话里面,有说有一条叫做巨龙叫皮颂。 他想要夺取这个宙斯的这个同款天庭王权的这个过程中呢，他去出手将那个所谓的星辰呢，把他们从天能够摔落下来。
So if you take the Greek mythology, for instance, there was a great dragon allegedly named Python who was trying to basically siege Zeus's throne, and in an attempt, the dragon or the Python struck stars and constellations down from the sky.
而在迦南的传说中呢，也有海里的大怪兽哈，就被称为是这个利维亚坦。
And again, in Canaan folklore, as well, there's a sea creature, a large sea creature referred to as Leviathan.
我相信大家对这个利维亚坦这个名字会有点的熟悉，因为它曾出现过在圣经里面。
Again, I'm sure some of us are familiar with the term Leviathan, as it actually was recorded in the Bible several times.
而在旧约的圣经里面呢，他们被隐喻的方式呢，被指为是以色列的敌人。
Again, in the Old Testament, they were metaphorically being described as the adversary or foes of Israel.
我们来看几段的经文，比如说我们看以赛亚书第27章第一节。
And let's look at a few passages from the Old Testament. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1.
这里说到那了耶和华必用他坚硬的锐利的大刀惩罚利未亚旦，然后就是那爬得快的蛇，然后惩罚利未亚旦就是那弯弯曲曲的蛇，并杀死海里的大鱼。
In that day, the Lord, with his hard and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that's in the sea.
而这里呢,一般的解释是说,他们被认为是讲关于这个所谓亚述和巴比伦。
And oftentimes scholars regard this as being referring to Assyria as well as Babylon.
而诗篇第74篇第14节,他说要敲碎这个利未亚他的头。
Again, Psalm chapter 74, verse 14, it talks about crushing the heads of the Leviathan.
在这里呢,也有认为说,这个所谓的海中的怪兽呢,是指向埃及。
And oftentimes this Leviathan is referred to as Egypt.
所以呢,你就从这样一个过程的这个了解里面。
So through this process, when we're trying to understand the context,
约翰呢在这里呢强调这个大龙是红色的。
And here John emphasized that the dragon himself is red in color.
其实因为红色呢是要用来强化说这个龙呢有那种的残暴的一种的特色。
Again, the color red is to emphasize and intensify the brutality characteristic of the dragon.
然后从过去的这个传统里面，圣经有用这种海怪啦等等的方式去描述当时的一些国家的代表，而在这里呢，他几乎也是要借助这样一个大传统呢，来去指向当时来去迫害信徒群体的政权权啊，这个势力罗马。
And oftentimes we've seen the Bible using this to describe oppressive political regimes, and in this case, Rome was being inferred as the one.
所以来到这里的时候，我们就要做一个小小的总结。
And let's try to take a snapshot of what we have learned so far.
这是启示录要结合各种古代文献或者经文的背景呢，来去这种邪的象征，来去借大红龙的形象，表达邪恶势力对上帝子民的迫害或是攻击。
Here's the, I think the book of Revelation is trying to amalgamate ancient documentations of symbols of evil.To and leveraging the image of the red dragon to demonstrate the persecution and assault coming at the churches from the evil forces.
以及它所具有那种巨大的杀伤的能力。
And certainly this also come very capable of leveraging lethal damages on the churches.
所以这个就是在启示里面红色大红龙的一种的象征的意义。
And this is again the symbolic meaning of the great red dragon in the book of Revelation.
所以请大家就不要随便说将圣经所描述的这个大红龙呢和中东方中华文化这种代表的龙呢来相提并论。
So brothers and sisters, let's not associate the dragon being described in the book of Revelations of what typically the Asian cultures tend to think of dragons as.
因为我曾经有跟人去一起我年轻小的时候去传福音，然后有人就进去一个没有信主的人的家里，看到龙，他就说：“这个龙就是为什么你龙要去撒蛋放在你的家里面去。”
So, Reverend Ray Kang had witnessed when he was younger, and going into a non-believer's house, they were asking why you have a dragon or Satan being positioned in your house.
我吓了一跳，因为这个是错误的诠释关于圣经龙的这个意思。
Again, this is a probably incorrect.Perception of the term dragon in the Bible.
而且所谓的中国文化的龙跟我们圣经描述的龙是很大的不一样。
And certainly there's a huge distinction between the dragon being described in the scriptures as well as those being perceived in Asian cultures.
而所谓的东方的龙在华人的文化和观念里面，它是有这种崇高和尊贵的这个地位和意义。
So the term dragon in Asian cultures and Asian perspective has taken on or possesses more of a distinguished status.
所以我们要小心的注意。
And this is something you have to be very mindful of.
好，我们接着看这个经文第九节里面提到说，大龙就是那古蛇，名叫魔鬼，又叫撒旦，是迷惑普天下的。
And back to the scripture, chapter verse 9, it reads, And the great dragon was that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world.
刚才很好 Elder Melvin 有提到说大龙就是那可能被称为是撒旦的。
And so it's an apt description, it's Satan.
可是这边呢又会常常让人会感到这种的混淆或者是误解。
But oftentimes this also is quite confounding and misleading as well.
因为当你去看旧约跟新约的时候，好像有点的而且没办法能够去了解整个的那个图画。
Again, if you actually study this holistically from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a gap that need to be reconciled.
因为你发现到就是说，哎，为什么旧约和新约所描述的撒旦的这个角色和观念，它的差别很大。
It seems like there's quite a big disconnect between the Satan that's being described in the Old Testament and that in the New.
为什么差别那么大？
And why is there such a big disconnect?
有人回应吗？
Anyone?
为什么差别那么大？旧约跟新约好像不一样的。
It seems like there's a very different interpretations between the two.
要试试吗？戴云，差别很大。
Indeed, it's wide.
我们看一下哦。
Let's take a look.
撒旦，他在希伯来文呢很少提到撒旦的这个名字。
In the original Hebrew text, the term Satan has rarely used.
也没有说关于撒旦详细的整全的信条的记载。
And there's only very few or rare epistle records of Satan itself.
而撒旦呢，他的意思呢，翻译是是指指控者。
Again, Satan, from a definition perspective, is the accuser.
而在其他的书卷里面呢，他可能也被称为是仇敌啦。敌对啦，或者是指控者、检察官等等。
And there are other interpretations of this term: opposition, enemy, as well as the enemy.
所以在犹太人的所谓的宗教信仰的中心，他其实是不扮演任何重要的角色。
Therefore, in the core of the Jewish faith, Satan actually does not play any critical role.
所以。如果是根据旧约的这个圣经的观念，撒旦呢是属于耶和华的所谓的控制或者是受命的。
Therefore, according to a traditional or Old Testament concept of Satan, God reigns over Satan, has complete control over him.
而他完全没有那种地位可以说跟耶和华来去成为宇宙两种永恒对抗的那种的力量。
Therefore, he is in a completely different league and certainly not an eternal opposing force to God.
他必须要得到耶和华所谓的那种的权力的应允呢，他才能够去施行破坏，或者是说被奉差遣去执行神的这个任务，就好像我们看到约伯记的记载一样。
Therefore, whatever he does, he needs to seek and receive God's permission before he could exercise authority and wreak havoc, just as what we have read in the book of Job.
不过呢，我们看到自从旧约的时代。到新约时代的两月之间。
So, but as we move on and actually study the periods between the Old and the New Testament,
犹太人他们遇到了很多不幸的事情的发生，国家和民族的命运呢都太悲惨了。
Indeed, the Jews had suffered from incessant misfortunes. Both the country and the nation had experienced miserable destinies.
所以当初说一个所谓的全善的神，神几乎不能够足以解释他们的这种的经验。
And therefore, if the concept of an omnipotent king with bountiful kindness was unable to explain their predicament.
但是撒旦呢，却能够说去提供一切代表黑暗的这个符号。
But Satan yet therefore could actually come in as a notation of the dark for them.
所以在两个之间就开始去发展这个撒旦的作为整全的这个观念。
Therefore, the Jews during this interim period progressively developed a more complete view or perception of Satan.
所以呢，就开始把它形容为是那种邪恶势力的那种力量的挥手，或者是公义的这个攻击者。
And therefore, he was then referred to as the ringleader or chief of evil, assailant of justice.
也是说反对上帝和他天使的所谓的这个首领。
And certainly, someone who is a leader who opposes against God as well as his angels.
所以这也是为什么说在后期的犹太那个经文里面呢，撒旦已逐渐有明确的倾向邪恶和死亡之天使的特征跟属性。
Therefore, if you look at the Jewish text in the latter days, the term Satan has increasingly taken on the characteristics and properties of evil as well as angel of death.
所以这是有一个演变的过程的。
And this is therefore more of an evolutionary process.
希望这样的解释呢，能够帮助大家在看圣经的时候，从你从旧约看到新约的时候，会对撒旦这种的观念有所的了解跟认识。
And let's hope that this will help us as we read from Old Testament to a New Testament have a better understanding of how this Satan concept has evolved.
然后经文中有提到说，米迦勒同他的使者跟龙来去作战。
And the scriptures then moved on and spoke about Michael and his angels fighting a battle.
如果大家想要多了解关于米迦勒的事情呢，可以参阅但以理书第十章跟第十二章。
And for those of us who are keen to learn more about Michael, we can actually look back at the book of Daniel, chapter 10 and 12. Here's more on him.
米迦勒他一般被称为被描写成是以色列的守护者。
And Michael oftentimes is being depicted as the guardian or protector of Israel.
然后呢，也看见说，在末后的日子里面呢，去拯救他们出来。
And you can also see that in the last days, he was there to deliver the Israelites from calamities.
然后启示也告诉我们说，当这个龙被打败的时候，他就发怒了。来去将这个迫害来到这个地上的教会。
And the book of Revelation tells us that once the dragon was thrown down to the earth, he was furious and then tried to inflict damage and persecute the churches on earth.
所以其实约翰他神学想要透过这样一个大异象的这个争斗。
And therefore the theology of John through this large portent or vision.
还有就是良善跟邪的这个征战的一个模式呢
And this more of a mode of a battle of good versus evil
它其实要带出一种的一个教导来
And the teaching that he was trying to expound through all this
他想要说去表达去阐述当时候那个所谓的七间教会或者是现今的我们遭受所谓的迫害苦难的那个根源
And therefore, he wants to explore the root cause or the source of this suffering and tribulation that the seven churches at the time may have suffered, as well as those of us who are under persecution today may experience.
然后呢，为这个所谓的苦难呢，又提出更深的这种的所谓的解释跟分析。
And therefore, to provide a deeper dive or deeper analysis of this trials and tribulations that we might or they have experienced.
然后感恩的是我们看到经文告诉我们说因着这个得胜的羔羊也就是耶稣基督的血呢弥赛亚的群体能够教会借着经历各种的患难呢能够见人所见证的道而赢得了胜利
And therefore thankfully as the scripture tells us with the blood of the victorious lamb or that of Jesus Christ the faith community of the Messiah through many tribulations but through perseverance was able to emerge victorious
所以看到第十二节的经文说，诸天和住在其中的，你们都快乐吧。
And therefore, verse 12 it reads, "Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein."
不过，他说什么有祸了呢
？But what did he conversely say?
什么有祸了？他说地和海有祸了。
But woe to the earth and the sea.
为什么呢？因为说那个魔鬼知道他时间不是很多，所以呢就在地上制造混乱，然后引诱迷惑地上的人。
Because the devil's time is short, he has therefore come down to earth in great wrath and tried to seduce and bewitch the people on earth.
然后在后面的第十三章，大家可以看得到他怎么去加害于那些人民。
And in there are more details in verse 13 through 18.
所以他们就开始要去约翰记着这个事情了，其实要去勉励当时候的教会，他们要有信心的准备去应对这种的迫害，要坚持到底。
And therefore, John, through all this description, is trying to provide encouragement, consolation of hope to those churches who are being persecuted at that time.
然后来到第最后的十三到十八节。
And then, if you read on to the last part of the scripture this morning,
好像又回到另外一个镜头说。看见那个龙呢，还是不甘心要去迫害那个生男孩的妇人和他其余的儿女。
And the dragon was certainly unrelenting and pursued the woman who had born the male child as well as her other offspring.
然后呢，我们感恩的是经文告诉我们说，这个妇人呢获得了大鹰的两个翅膀，让她可以飞到旷野里面去。
And therefore, thankfully, the scriptures also tells us that the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, and that she might fly into the wilderness and away from the serpent.
然后呢，我们看见说，那个龙呢，还企图要像古代那种传说中的海怪说，要用水呢来去将妇人来去冲走。
And the scripture also tells us that the dragon, like what we've read in legends, attempt to drown or sweep away the woman with water.
但是经文却告诉我们什么呢
But what does scripture tell us thereafter?
那个地很特别的去裂开所帮助的那个妇人
The earth actually aided the woman.
她开口吞了所谓龙所喷出来的水
And she swallowed the water or the river which the dragon had poured out from his mouth.
所以从这些的事情里面再次让我们看见我们所信的这位神他是一位眷顾和守护的神
And therefore, all this again serves to reaffirm that the God whom we have faith in is a God who defends and protects.
所以，其实通过今天第十二章这启示录的信息
，And therefore, through the message taken from chapter 12, book of Revelations this morning,
是要借助一种就是过去救恩历史的回顾和审视。
And through recollection and reflection of the history of redemption we have seen.
以及看见所大意象这个遭口所发生的景象和这个过程的启示。
And to see actually the scene of omen or vision as well as the process that transpires from this.
让当时面对罗马这个帝国可能在政治社会里面的信仰上的迫害的这些教会呢，还有当时候跟随主的那些的信徒们。
And actually is to allow those churches who at that time might have been facing persecution from Roman across all facets, as well as the community of faith of the Messiah.
他们都可以得到什么呢
？And what can they receive from this message?
他们都可以得到所谓的拯救或者救赎的安慰跟这个盼望。
That they were able to receive some consolation of some consolation as well as hope of salvation and redemption.
所以刚才为什么说我们今天的领唱或者是祷告都能够将这个信息来去带出来
？And therefore, so Reverend Rekhan, I said earlier, both the worship as well as the prayer brought out the essence of the sermon this morning.
不论是苦难或是等候的时间有多长或是短
It will be the persecution itself or actually the waiting period be however long or short it might be
让人知道说整个的过程都有上帝的眷顾跟保守
That we are aware of God being a sturdy sanctuary and shelter during the whole process
只要上帝愿意介入在其中呢我们必定得到他的这个保守和看顾
And therefore, if God were willing to intervene, we'll always get His protection.
我想这两位大家就很认识、很熟悉，对吗
？I'm sure you're all familiar with these two individuals.
这个神，他们在圣经里面被记载了，也让我们看见他为这个信仰做了很好的这个见证。
And certainly, both individuals, Apostle Paul and Peter, had actually done great witnesses for Christ, as described in the scriptures.
他们为了去传福音，为了宣讲真道，他们被抓去坐牢，也遇到很多的患难。
And certainly for the gospel, they have both suffered times in jail and certainly experienced a lot of the trials and tribulations.
可是我们看见他们也得到神的这个拯救，也看到他们能够坚忍到底，并为神做了美好的见证。
Certainly we saw that God had come to their rescue as well as they persevered all the way to the end.
请问我们现在还会不会面对各种的苦难？压力或者是挣扎呢
So as we look at ourselves today, do we actually face similar patterns of trouble, difficulty and distress?
有吗？我们现在还是有面对这种的压力跟挣扎跟苦难吗
Do we still see the same pressures, struggles?
有，但是可能不一样，对吗
Certainly not, perhaps not the same extent.
我们现在是基督徒，但是我们还是会面对在可能说在工作。在家庭、在婚姻、在经济、在身体的健康上，我们都会有各种的压力或者是愁烦。
So despite being Christians, I think across all any facet of our life, be it our family, our job, from a finances perspective, or even our health, we certainly would run into struggles.
而当我们去在面对很糟糕或者是说很那种不好的这个环境的时候，请问你我是不是仍然还是在坚忍到底？来背着十字架，继续相信他是守护的神。
So when we are faced with predicament that we cannot imagine, do we still persist and bear this cross and believe that He is the one, a God who defends?
或者是说，算了，我已经放弃了，我不要再背负这个十字架，因为太累了，太重了。
Or do we just say, you know what? Let's forget it. This cross bearing is actually too tedious for me.
我不知道大家的现在情况是怎么样。
Certainly, when I'm not familiar with each of every one of our predicament.
但愿我们能够说，就算是面对到任何的环境，我们都能够仍然的背负着十字架往前走。
But we hope, certainly pray that whatever situation we might be in, we will be able to bear this cross and just move on in this journey.
所以最后，我以今年教会的主题“活得对、活得好、活得乐”作为一个结束，彼此的勉励。
So let's try to wrap the message this morning with the theme of the church this morning: flourishing life.
活得对呢，就是我们。持守敬虔见的心去跟从他。
And to live right is to follow him with perseverance and reverence.
我们在生活上会遭遇到各种的可能压迫，然后却要坚忍到底去做基督徒的见证呢？ 我觉得这是一件不容易的事情。
In our day-to-day life, I think it's difficult to perhaps persist and be faithful witnesses to Christ when we are being persecuted.
因为可能你会被人嘲笑，或者说可能你会说失去工作，或者说可能是你连你的生命都没有掉。
Perhaps you are being ridiculed. You are at risk of jeopardizing your career, or perhaps even your life.
就好像从圣经里面看到我们的但以理。
And again, a classic example, Daniel in the Bible.
那时候国家发了个命令，说不能够去祭拜神祷告。可是呢，他却继续的坚持在上帝的面前去祈求跟祷告。
And certainly Daniel, despite what the country or the regime at the time had ordered them not to do, he continued to seek God in prayer.
最后他被怎么样呢？
And what happened to him at the end?
他被丢进去狮子坑里面，对吗？
He was thrown into a lion's den.
可是我们却看见神却看顾跟保守他。
And we definitely did see that God came to his rescue and protected them.
我跟大家分享一个真实的故事。
And Reverend Count wants to share a story here.
就是有一位教会的长老，他要面对到一种工作要去升迁的这个事情。
So there was an elder in the church who was actually on the cusp of being promoted.
公司呢要从两位候选人选一位成为公司的这个主管。
So there are two candidates in running for a leadership position in the company.
长老是其中一位。
So the elder himself or herself was one.
然后长老呢，他就安分守己的去做他应该做的事情，继续的去努力工作。
So no change in his or her behavior, she just does as his or her job as had been the case.
但是另外一位呢，他却用不好的手法手段呢，去取得要好的成绩，想要得到这个升职。
So the opposing candidate resorted to other unscrupulous means in trying to improve.His work records to try to win this promotion.
如果用这种表现或成绩来看的话，请问谁会最后被选为成为主管呢？
So if you actually look at the end result of the work records, who do you think actually won the promotion?
是长老还是那一位不择手段的那一位个人？
So the elder or the opposing candidate who tried to achieve through unscrupulous means?
照来看，应该是那个好成绩、不择手段的那个人，对吗
？Logically, is the opposing candidate.
但是我告诉你，最后呢，那间公司选的长老成为那个主管。
But at the end of the day, the elder prevailed.
所以有时候我们会觉得说，哎呀，当我们看到别人用很多的方式，不是基督徒的原则方式去做的时候，我们可能心里面感到说，哎呀，会不会说我会失去了这个机会？所以我也想要一起做。
And oftentimes, when we look at what the non-believers resort to, what unscrupulous means to try to achieve the ends, we oftentimes, are we going to at the losing, basically on the losing end of the stick because of that?
所以有时候会挣扎，有压力哦，要不要这么做？
So we oftentimes struggle and say, should we just follow suit?
但我们能够向但以理和这位长老学习，不论面对任何逼迫疑惑呢？都没有办法使你跌倒去跟从我们的主。
Let's pray that we would similar to the Daniel as well as this elder not fall or abandon God when we are tempted.
第二呢，就是活得好，就是凡事在他的守护和掌管内。
And the second is to live well, trusting that everything is under God's control and protection.
我们基督徒难免会面对各种的忧愁、焦虑。
And as Christians, inevitable that we'll experience anxiety and feel apprehension and oftentimes disheartened.
但是当我们细细去观察生活的经历的时候，却能够知道说，其实凡事有上帝的守护和掌管。
But if we take a step back and just look at our life in detail, we can actually see that our life is under God's protection and control.
我们就能够很安然去面对我们所要担心的事情。
And therefore gives us the peace in our heart to actually face what we have to deal with.
曾经跟大家分享过，在一月份的时候说，我经过长执会的决定呢，我要负责去为禧莲堂三个很重要的这个项目，140周年纪念，还有这个所谓的数码化跟资讯这个科技的提升呢，去负责要去宣传、去推动，然后去募大概10万块的钱。
So early on this year, as you recall, Reverend Ray Kang, upon the trust of the session, were tasked to take on 3 important tasks for the church this year, the 140th anniversary celebration at year-end, the digitization effort, as well as the IT infrastructure upgrade. That includes publicity, as well as fundraising totaling up to $100,000.
那时候心情也难免有些焦虑或是担心怎么样去募这个钱。
And certainly Reverend Ray Kang was bothered by this given the huge amount of money that's involved.
那感谢神呢，在这两个月，我看到很多弟兄姐妹们都很踊跃的在这个事情上给这个奉献。
But thankfully, over the past couple of months, we have seen brothers and sisters earnestly offering to these efforts.
而在上个星期，也很奇妙的，突然间收到一对夫妇，他所要为这140周年的特刊呢，需要的18,000块这个所有的费用呢，做这个奉献。
And last week, miraculously, there was a couple who donated $18,000 towards the production of the 140th anniversary special commemorative issue of the magazine or publication that the church is putting together.
一切的荣耀都归于我们的神。
And we got the glory to God.
他们认为说这个教会制作特刊是很有意义，然后借作来述说喜宴堂的事工呢，来去荣耀上帝。
And this couple viewed the issue as actually very meaningful, and through the works of Jubilee to glorify God.
所以他们想说那个特刊有这个收藏的意义，所以他愿意说去为这个制作费来去全部的奉献。
And therefore they viewed this commemorative issue as somewhat of a collector's item with some safekeeping value, therefore they're willing to contribute to this effort.
第三，活得热，就是蒙他大能安守护呢安乐的生活。
And number three, to live happily and be blessed by his power to continue to sustain a joyful life.
我想圣经关于记载耶稣平静风和浪的故事，大家都很熟悉。
And I'm sure all of us are familiar with this, the story and captured in the Bible about Jesus and his disciples facing a storm.
这个故事告诉我们什么呢？最主要。
And what does this story about the ferocious storm tell us?
它告诉我们一个很重要的提醒是说，当我们面对各种的患难、困苦，或者是说压力的时候，不要过于慌张或者是恐惧。
And what a pertinent reminder does this narrative tell us? That when we are faced with any sort of difficulty or pressure, do not be overtly fearful or dreadful.
因为在艰难的过程里面，我们有他的同在和他的眷顾。
Because irrespective of the predicament that we are in, he is with us, we have his presence as well as omnipotence with us.
所以就算我们现在还是处在那种的困苦和困难中呢，我们还是心里面有平安喜乐过我们的生活。
And even though we might still be experiencing the same difficulty as before, with his this knowledge of his presence with us, that we are able to live our life peacefully with joy.
愿神通过他的话语来帮助我们能够得到帮助和勉励。
And may God help us to actually get peace from the words that we have studied this morning.
Amen.
Amen.